Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How are you doing? I'm glad we have the slides afterwards, because I'm sure there is nothing about me on those slides. It's all the fun that they had until 3 o'clock in the morning every night. Too late. No, we had really a lot of fun together, and I was very honored to be able to come, because I'm much older than they are, but to be able to impart and share some of my experiences and understanding, and hopefully their view of God as a Father has doubled, tripled, quadrupled, or whatever. And it was a really good time. And as Philip said, we've known each other for many, many years. Rola was young and beautiful when I met her first. Now she's just beautiful. She came to England 25 years ago, and my wife and I had the privilege to get to know her. I was leading her discipleship training school. It was the first, actually, Arabic and English discipleship training school that we pioneered in England. And Rola was one of them, coming from Lebanon. We had people from Jordan, Egypt, and Western people who had a heart for the Middle East. So it was, 25 years ago. I was young and beautiful, too, at that time. I'm still is beautiful. Maybe not so young. Are you ready to get challenged? Okay, because when I was praying about you guys, and this morning when Philip asked me if I wanted to preach in church, I'm not a good church preacher. I'm more a teacher who needs a whole week to share about the Father heart of God. But I've learned to reduce and learn the 30 minutes that I've been given to share with you. But this morning, I really believe that God wanted to challenge us as a church, as a body. I was just in the prayer time, and I really enjoyed and really felt at home with the few of us who were there this morning, and just really asking God, do something this morning in our hearts. Do you want more? Do you want to move further? Okay, so fasten your seat belts, and we are going. The topic of the title of my preaching, sermon, whatever you want to call it, I'm not a pastor, okay? I'm just telling you that right from the front. I'm a former missionary. I'm retired. I'm nearly 70 years old, and I live in Tacoma, Washington. In Luke 1:37, the angel met with Mary and said, "Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God." And the title is, why do we put limits on God? Why? You know, I've seen God do so many things. I was part of the School of Supernatural Ministry back in Redding, California with Bethel Church. And I've seen amazing things happen, but I also have seen nothing happen. Not that when we pray, nothing is happening, because God is always doing something. But we saw instant miracles as well as long-term work, in a sense, in people's hearts and lives. And I believe this is what the people are asking for today, that we would just be standing in the gap with them and loving on them. People in the streets need an encounter with God. Sometimes we don't even need to evangelize them, but just stopping, loving them, and praying for them, having words of knowledge, which is, God, what do you want me to pray for that person? Or prophetic words, or whatever it is. I remember I led a team from Bethel Church, or from the school, actually, to San Francisco. And we were working with YWAM there. And YWAM had organized that week. It was really wonderful. And with a friend of mine, or one of the co-leaders, I had to go to the bank, get some money out so that we could pay YWAM for hosting us and feeding us very, very well. And on the way back, we stopped, and we met this man who was maybe my age or maybe a little bit younger. And we sat on the pavement with him because we knew that he was a homeless person. And YWAM is right in the Tenderloin area where there are thousands of homeless people. They even sleep in front of the YWAM door. And it stinks, okay, because they pee everywhere, whatever they do. But we sat, we kind of sat on the pavement with him, and we started to ask him questions. And he said, "Oh, you Christians, I don't want you to talk to me about God because. But we didn't really talk to him about God. We just loved on him. And the girl that was with me was some kind of an artist, and she had drawn some little cards. And she said, "Please choose one of those cards." And he chose a card with a picture of a butterfly. And so we were able to prophesy over this man, that this is how God saw him, that he was in a dark place, that he had made that choice to live on the streets. His father was a major in the Marine or in the Air Force or whatever. But he had made that choice to live there. And we just told him how much God loved him, and the tears were just falling from his eyes. Just a little sign. We didn't lead him to the Lord, but we expressed to him how much God loved him and how much cared for him. So why do we limit God? And I will tell you why. I'm sure you already have some answers. We need to totally have confidence, trust, love, and accept God to do things in us and through us that are far beyond our human understanding. Are you ready for that? It's scary. It's scary, isn't it? But we have the Holy Spirit with us. We have the power of God with us. God is our Heavenly Father. He's given us so much as we were praying this morning through His Son, Jesus Christ. And everything that we need is already in us. We tend to put limits on God because of that. God cannot really move in the way that He wants to move in Los Angeles, in San Francisco, in Tacoma, Washington, wherever we are. We know that God is a powerful God. I mean, those kids had this, hopefully, a better, deeper understanding of God as a Father, and that we have everything in Him and through Him. And we serve not just, well, of course, there's no picture of Him here, but a picture, a statue, a whatever. We serve a living God who has breathed life into each one of us. And that is not for us, but it is to give away to other people. Because God is totally limitless. For Him, nothing is impossible. When I was younger, we used to sing this song, "Our Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Your great power." Rola is agreeing with me. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is impossible for Thee. You know, I was thinking, yeah, it is kind of true, but it doesn't really show that in my life. And I had to learn to change. So what is a limit? What is a limit? It's the point or the edge or one beyond which something ends, may not go to, or is not allowed. Okay, like a normal preacher has this, okay? But I love to move, and I'm sure this is happening more and more. But normally, this is my limit, right? If I was an ordinary preacher, but I'm not. I love to move, okay? And it's the boundary surrounding a specific area. It's something that restricts or restrains. It's a restraint. And this is what we do with God. We put limits on Him. There is one over there. We put God in a box. Because of our understanding or misunderstanding. So we put Him in a box and we say, "Okay, God, here You are." It can be a big box. Can be a small box, but because we have a human brain, we have human understanding, so we tend to limit Him to what we think He is, or to past experiences or things that we have gone through as we were growing up. So we put him in a box. And then we pray and we ask him, God, please do this in my life. And he does it. So he's out of the box and we are very happy, but then we kind of put him back in the box. And then we pray another time because maybe your mother is sick and you're praying and praying and praying and nothing happens. And so you kind of put him back in the box and then you don't even let him out again for a while. And this is how we kind of play tricks, or we think that God is playing tricks with us. But he's not. He is a good God, as we were singing earlier on. He is a good, good, good Father. William Barclay, who was a Scottish author, a radio and TV presenter, a Church of Scotland minister, said this: when we listen to men planning and arguing and thinking aloud, we get the impression of a vast number of things in this world which are known to be desirable but dismissed as impossible. Men spend the greater part of their lives putting limitations on the power of God. Faith is the ability to lay hold of that grace which is sufficient for all things in such a way that the things which are humanly impossible become divinely possible. With God, all things are possible, and therefore the word impossible has no place in the vocabulary of the Christian and of the Christian church. Powerful. Because we limit God. We do not allow him to get out of the box and to do what he's supposed to do in our lives, through our lives. When I was younger, I did an apprenticeship in banking. And I was working as a cashier back in Switzerland. As I was telling my young friends, you make cheese or chocolate or watches, or you work in a bank in Switzerland, okay? And this lady came, this customer came, and she said, I would like to withdraw. It was quite a large amount of money. So I had never met her before, so I called the accounting department upstairs, and I said, Mrs. So-and-so is here, and it was a numbered account, which many people have in Switzerland, and maybe not as much now that in my time. And they told me that there was no money on her account, okay? So as politely as possible, I said, I'm sorry, Mom, but there is no money on your account. She said, it's impossible. And I replied in French, impossible is not French. She didn't want to believe me, and I was treated so badly by the boss because they were happy to get rid of her because she was a very annoying customer. But I took the brunt of being impolite with her. But it is true, impossible should not be in our vocabulary, especially with God, because with him nothing is impossible. He opened the Red Sea so that the Jews could walk through. He provided quails and manna. He did so many, 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 many things. And there are at least two examples of people in the Bible who have put limits on God. The first one is Moses. You know, for a whole chapter in Exodus chapter 4, tries to explain to God that he don't know how to speak. And boy, he is talking quite a lot there, doesn't he? And then he says, but God, I don't know how to speak. He was limiting himself, first of all, and also limiting God, because God wanted him to be the boss. But because of his limiting God, God chose his brother to be his mouthpiece. And then you have Jonah in the Old Testament, but also we know the story. God told him to do something very, very, very specific, to go into a very specific city and to tell them, turn away, because God is going to judge that city. And what does he do? He runs away because he doesn't believe that God is able to save that city. In Jonah 1 to 17. And I'm sure there are so many others in the Bible who limited God. And God had to not change his plan, but had to get Jonah out of the big fish. And Jonah repented. And Moses, it was his brother who was his mouthpiece. You know, God always has solutions. But sometimes we miss to be used by him because he will use somebody else in our place. Do you remember a time where the Lord blessed you? Yeah? Spoke to you. Or used someone to help you in a way that you were not expecting? Yes? No? Yes. How was that? It was great, wasn't it? It was great to see God speak to us, use us, use the pastor or a friend who spoke the word of God to us, gave us some sense of direction or confirmed the sense of direction that we were going to. It was like, whoa! Somebody might give you a prophetic word and it's like, this is exactly what I've been waiting for. It confirms what I have in my heart. That is so exciting. And I believe that God is wanting to do that more and more and more in our lives and through our lives. Of course, in the Bible, there are examples of how God operated, in a manner that at times was totally unconventional, totally out of the box, totally out of the comfort zone of that individual. It was foolish. Have you ever heard a donkey talk to you? Or a horse? Or a cow? But it happened in the Bible. Balaam was beating his donkey because he didn't want to move, because the angel of the Lord was there to stop them from getting any further. And then, I read that this morning, and it was so much fun. And the ass just took back to him and said, "Why are you beating me like this? I haven't done anything wrong." Whoa. Is that natural? No. It is supernatural. And then in Joshua chapter 2, who did he use to conquer Jericho? A prostitute. Wow. She was the one who hid the spies. And she was saved. Because of that. That was supernatural. I mean, who would use a prostitute today to save a nation? What about the prophet Elijah, who had been running away in 1 Kings chapter 17? And God is using the ravens to bring food in the morning and bread in the evening. That is also supernatural. It doesn't happen every day. I don't know if it has happened since. I've heard of so many miracles. Because God is a good God. I remember being on a Youth with Mission outreach in Venice, Italy. And we were cooking for a big group. And we had prepared the food with whatever we had. And as we were dinging out the food, it went on and on and on and on, and it never emptied. Okay? It's like the two fish and the five loaves. God is able to do that today. In us and through us. Have you always paid your taxes? Have you had Jesus say to you, "Go down to the ocean and the first fish you take out, there's going to be some money there"? I wish he was doing that to me. But again, this is a miracle. This is supernatural. And the guys were trying to catch him in a sense and finding out what is Jesus going to do. What about Peter and John going up to the temple after the Holy Spirit had been poured? And then they meet this guy who was begging. And Peter and John said together, I don't know, but it says Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. Get up and walk." Wow. Can we do that? Of course. Why? Because we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Because Jesus lives in us. It happens. It happens. God is challenging us to step up the game, to be used by Him. And I was telling the young people at the retreat, my daughter couldn't bear children. She had an ovarian cyst syndrome. And so they had tried for quite some time. And they found out that she had this problem just before they moved to Reading. And they were involved in the first year of the School of Supernatural Ministry. And of course, they were desperate. They were desolate. They were sad because, you know, I mean, every couple wants to bear children, right? And so they mentioned that to their group, and people gathered around and prayed for them, and she was healed. Now she has three kids. And actually, she lost the fourth through miscarriage. And I was just talking to this young American guy from California, a young couple, but I was talking to him. And I don't know why I just mentioned about my daughter and how God had healed her. And he said, you know what, Claude, this is exactly the same problem that we have as a couple. We've been trying to get pregnant, and my wife has the ovarian cyst syndrome, and we cannot get pregnant. So I said, would you like me to come and pray for you guys? And they said, let me talk to her first. And then on the Thursday, I knocked on their door on that YWAM base, and I entered, and we sat on the bed. He was here. She was in the middle, and I was here. And we just laid our hands on her, and we spoke in Jesus' name, whatever problem is there, because we don't know what's going inside somebody's body. But we said, in Jesus' name, be healed, you know. And it's not a 20-minute prayer. It's ordering the body to line up himself to the original design that God had. And then I asked her, I said, what's going on? And she said, I don't know, I feel heat. Okay? I came back home. I don't know where I was living at that time. I think in the States. So I flew back after my week of teaching there. And then they went on mission trip, because every school of discipleship training school has an outreach, we say in YWAM, or a mission trip. So they went to China. Okay, they evangelized, they taught English, they did all kinds of things. They came back. Guess what? She was pregnant. Made in China. It wasn't just one, but it was two. A boy and a girl. And now they have four kids. And I've prayed for a number of women who couldn't get pregnant, who got pregnant, not by me, of course. You know what I'm talking about. And it's exciting. But also, on the other hand, I've seen people not healed when I was praying for them. And that's not my problem. It's not even their problem. It's God who is in charge. And we don't understand. And it's okay. It's okay. I remember prophesying over a bunch of students in Denver, and I picked this guy, and I had this word, and I had a picture of his passport, and I had a lot of stamps, and I said, you've traveled a lot, and you're going to travel a lot. And he looked at me and he said, have you read our files? Because everybody has to fill out forms in order to come into YWAM. I said, no, I don't have the time to read your file, because this is my life. What are you telling me is my life? And he was totally blown away. Do not put limit on God. So why do we put God in a box? Why do we limit him? Maybe I should ask the young people to respond after your week. Why? Because we are afraid of making a mistake. What if? Right? I've been there. I've done it. I'm still there. Fear of failure. But if we don't try, nothing is ever going to happen. If we don't step out of our comfort zone, then nothing is going to happen. Fear of failure. Maybe past disappointments. We might have prayed for somebody and nothing happened. My wife died of cancer 17 years ago. We spent 2 years praying. People all over the world were praying for her. God took her. Why? We don't understand. But does that stop me from praying for people to be healed of cancer or any other disease? No, it should not. And I am eternally grateful for an Egyptian brother that was working with me. His name is Ashraf Farahat. And we were running discipleship training schools together. And we, both of us, became part of what is called in YWAM the Discipleship Training Center. And so we represented the Middle East because my heart has been so much in the Middle East. I traveled a lot in the Middle East. I did camps and youth camps and YWAM training. I spoke in churches, etc. And we were in Argentina because we had our meeting there. And one of the leaders had a phone call from his wife from South Africa saying, my mother is very, very, very sick. She has cancer and she's dying. We need to pray. Guess what? Me praying for cancer? Come on, I just lost my wife a few years ago. I'm not going to pray. And I removed myself from the group. And my friend Ashraf came behind me and kicked me in the But if I may say that, physically and also spiritually, I said, Claude, you cannot stop praying for people to be healed. Because it's like the enemy was getting hold of what had happened to me in order that I would not be able to move into what God had for me. And that was, I'm so grateful for him because I've learned so much through him. Fear of failure, past disappointments, misconception of who God is. Misconception of who our Heavenly Father is. How do I see God in my daily life? How do I see Him as a harsh taskmaster? As somebody who abandons? Somebody who runs away? Somebody who is not interested in me because it's just little me? Or is He our real Heavenly Father who cares about each one of us? What limits my faith? You know? Faith is such a strange thing, if I may say that. You know what I'm talking about? Because you might have a ton of faith and you can pray for somebody and nothing is happening. Is it your fault? No. Is it her fault or his fault? No. God is God. And we cannot put him in a box. And we cannot say, God, you have to do this. You have to do that. When he does it, we are excited because that's what he wants to do. I think it was John Wimber. I don't know if you remember John Wimber. A long time ago, who pioneered the whatever church. I can't remember. The Vineyard Church. For a year, this pastor prayed for people to be healed. People were dying as he was praying for them. And suddenly, after a year, the breakthrough happened. And healing started. And people were queuing behind his door because they wanted to be prayed for. You know, it's so easy to abandon when somebody is not healed. I have done that. And I'm still working through that as well. Forgetting what he's done in the past. The way he's used us. We tend to kind of put that aside and not really wanting to know. Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do what? All things through him who gives me strength. What's all things? It's everything. And because of our misconception, because of our fear of failure, because of our past disappointments, because of forgetting what God has done in the past, then all things become nothing. Genesis 18, verse 14, is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Hebrews 11, 6, and without faith it is impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Chris Vallotton, who is the founder of the School of Supernatural Ministry and one of the pastors at Bethel Church, says this: faith spells R-I-S-K. Risk. It's scary. It's scary to step out of our comfort zone and say, I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to ask God, God, what message do you have for that person? And prophecy is not telling them their sins and all their mistakes. Prophecy is finding out the goal that God has placed into them and speaking that out. Or he said, faith grows in the culture of risk. I'm going slowly there, to be honest. Because God has so much more for all of us. You know, I think people outside in the streets are tired of Christians who are just talking. People in the Muslim world, how do they come to the Lord? Through dreams, of course, we know, but also as people prayed for them and they got healed and touched and ministered to. In whatever religion we work in whatever field we work in, that's what people are looking for Christians who are ready to love on them and to minister to them the love of the Father. So do we limit God in our finances? We heard that this morning. It's so easy to limit God and to be afraid of the future. How are things going to turn out? Who is going to pay for my bills? A month ago, I had a prostate cancer, and I was operated on. Sorry to go into detail, but they removed my prostate, and the cancer was contained in the prostate, which is an amazing thing. So I don't need chemotherapy or whatever. But I had MRIs, I had CT scan, I had a lot of expensive American health care, okay? And I was thinking, how am I going to pay for that? I'm grateful for Obamacare. I tell you, I'm grateful for him and for what he did, and I'm praying that Trump is not going to change his mind. Now that McCain passed on Saturday, if you don't know that, he did. He was the one who kind of voted against Trump changing Obamacare. And when I had my first MRI at the hospital, just before I checked in, this lady said, if you feel that you financially cannot bear the cost of your medical treatment, then you can fill up a form and put your taxes and all your papers and send that form. I did that. I wasn't expecting a lot, but I haven't paid a bill since April until November. Because God is able to do that for us. Humanly, it seems impossible. But that hospital, I don't know how they do it, but they do. Do we limit God in our future? What's next? And as I was driving in the car from the camp with Philip, I felt God wanted to say to somebody that you are ready to make a big decision in your life. It's going to be a big change. And the Lord is saying, I am with you. I am with you for your future. Don't fear. Whatever change that is, I don't know who that is here. But God is saying, do not fear. I am with you and I will lead you into the right way that I have chosen for you. Do not fear. Healing. Do we trust God to heal? Am I going too long? No, okay. Are we trusting God to use us to heal people? I mean, we're not healing them. God is using us to heal them, okay? And I've seen that happen. Not all the time, but I've seen that happen. There was this young man back in Idaho, and the guy in charge of the school had come to me and said, please do not ask him to read out loud because he is dyslexic. So I said, okay, I won't. But during the week, I felt led by the Lord to go and pray for him, to really speak out order into his mind and order into his eyes so that he could read. And I did that a couple of times. And then on the Friday morning, we had a time where we ministered to the students. And at the end, I just said, okay, who needs healing? And he said, I don't know if I believe. I'm not sure. But I'm ready to try. Okay, that's a good place to be. So he sat in the middle. We gathered around him with the students and the staff. And we prayed. Very simple prayer. In Jesus' name, we pray for his brain to get back in order or whatever. And then one of the students laid his hand on his head and said, I rebuke the spirit of confusion over, what was his name? Wesley. I rebuke the spirit of confusion in his mind. Okay. We continued to pray for a while. Then I went and I got this Bible, which is my Bible, and I chose a psalm that, not Psalm 23, because everybody knows it by heart, but a psalm that we don't read regularly, right? And I said, please read. And he started to read. And he started to weep because he was healed. God touched him. Our calling. Do we limit God in our calling? In our life? My ministry is not going in the direction that I think it should go. Or nothing is happening and I've been plowing and plowing and doing this and doing that and there is no results. That doesn't mean that we're not doing the right thing. Sometimes we need perseverance. And that's a very hard thing for Christians to have. To persevere. To keep going. To keep praying. To keep laying on our hands on people. So think about an area in your personal life where you have put limits on God. Your finances, your future, healing, or your calling, whatever it is. Or maybe another area. Maybe relationships. Whatever. Do you want to stay there, stuck in a rut? Or do you want to move forward? Think about an area in your personal life where you have limited God. It might be something very simple. Or it might be something bigger. And if God is pointing that area to you, you just need to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I didn't trust you. I have this wrong idea of who you are. Or I'm so scared to fail. Or I prayed so many times for somebody to be healed and nothing happened. Whatever it is, just say, Lord, I'm sorry. This morning in the prayer time, we were asking God to do whatever he wanted to do, right? I have a witness, so it's good. It's not just me. And if this is you, that God is speaking to you, I'd like you to stand. Okay, I know it's very vulnerable. Thank you. Thank you. I'm sure there is more. There are more people who need to take a stand. And we're going to declare something together. I'm not shaming you, blaming you, or whatever. But I believe that God wants really to impart his Holy Spirit into each one of our lives. He wants to stir those things that are in each one of us that maybe we were scared to use, whatever it is. I want you to declare out loud, I will not limit God. He is all powerful. 1, 2, 3. I will not limit God. He is all powerful. One more time. I will not limit God. He is all powerful. Yesterday I was having my quiet time upon that beautiful hill. And I was reading Acts chapter 4. And it's just right after Peter and John had healed this man at the gate, beautiful. And how they were rebuked by the police, by the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the people of the temple. And they were arrested. And the next day they were freed because nobody found an accusation. And this is what they prayed when they gathered together. So now, Lord, listen to their threats to harm us Empower us as your servants to speak the word of God freely and courageously. Stretch out your hand of power through us to heal and to move in signs and wonders by the name of your Holy Son, Jesus. And I want to declare that. I want to pray that over each one of us this morning. Stretch out your hand of power through us to heal and to move in signs and wonders by the name of your Holy Son, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and my sisters. Lord, I thank you that you are a good father. That, Lord, maybe we have the fear of failing. Maybe we have past disappointments. Maybe a lack of prayers that were not answered. Maybe we have misconception of who you are as a good father. Maybe we forgot what you had done in the past. So God, I really release that word over each one of us, that you would use us in our little corner, in our jobs, in our offices, in our hospitals, wherever we work, wherever we are, a mother at home with the neighbors, whatever it is, God, that we would be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, sensitive to your voice, and get out of our comfort zone. And I break every fear because it is scary. In the name of Jesus. And I release your Holy Spirit right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You may sit down. And I just have two more words. I don't know if that is for somebody here. But I believe that there is somebody, or maybe more, who has back pain. And it's been really, 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 really painful. Pain in your back. Anybody here? Okay, rise up. Thank you. Thank you. What I want is people who are around to pray for them. It's not because I have the word that I should go and pray. Just lay your hands on, forgot his name, great grandpa over there. Just move around, okay? It's a very short prayer. It's commanding the healing of the Holy Spirit. Lay your hands on their back. Whatever the pain is, ask them, what is the level of pain that you have in your back? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, we declare your healing right now in the name of Jesus. We speak alignment of their backbones in Jesus' name. Right now, every pain has to go in the name of Jesus. Every pain has to go in the name of Jesus. Every pain has to go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. That's the body of Christ working together. Have you read what this guy has on his t-shirt? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He was wearing the red t-shirt. Okay? Those who have been prayed for, I want you to do something that you couldn't do before. Come out here in the, I don't know if it's bending or, what do you feel? Do you still have pain, madam? Tenderness. Is there anything you couldn't do before? Shake, move, dance, whatever. Yeah, it's true. This is how we test. Okay. Okay, so no, a lot of sports and no more pain. Okay. Okay, sit down then. Until tomorrow morning. No, I'm kidding. Grandpa over there. How are you doing? Good. Thank you, Jesus. Let's clap. Okay. And keep praying. Okay? His gorgeous, beautiful son and his beautiful daughter. Just keep praying for him. No, this is not, I'm the wrong, it's the wrong dad, but you know what I mean. It's the man with many sons and daughters. and a beautiful wife sitting over there. Okay, another thing that I had was like skin disease. Somebody has some skin disease? Maybe you've never shared anything with anybody? Please stand up. Anybody else? Wow. Okay. Let's move. Let's pray. God is able to heal. He wants to heal. He wants to restore. Thank you. Remember short prayers. Yes, Lord. Every skin disease is gone right now in the name of Jesus. Every pain caused by that skin disease is gone in the name of Jesus. Excuse me. Right now in Jesus' name. No more. No more. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen. Some of those things we cannot control, so keep believing that God is doing his work. Maybe you don't have any more itch, whatever you call it. I don't know. Now, right now, what do you feel? It's okay. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the guts of standing up. Jesus, we just thank you so much for your presence with us. Thank you that you are stretching us. And it is a good thing, Father, because you want your people to be healthy. You want your people to be healed so that they can go and heal other people outside. Lord, we bless your name. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.